grateful, Heavenly Father, for being able to marvel at thy greatness, Heavenly Father. To marvel all that you do, that you have been doing since the beginning of time. Since you have always been, Heavenly Father, just to know that you have looked over this world, that you have guided it, continue to wrap your comforting arms around us each and every day, Heavenly Father. Just can't be thankful enough for all that you do. To send unto this world thy only begotten Son, for his willingness to sacrifice himself so that we may have eternal salvation. And we're just so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for just the comfort that you give us. You know, we know that just going through life, that we experience so much, Heavenly Father. And we know that we can at times get down. And we just know that to have this avenue of prayer, that you will not allow anything to overcome us, Heavenly Father. That you can give us the strength to just deal with anything that we face. We're so thankful unto you for that, Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for the leaders of this congregation, Heavenly Father, for their continuing to their hard work. We see all that the responsibilities that they have, Heavenly Father, to assure that our worship service unto you is according to thy will, to make sure that each and every one of the men, to make sure that we are prepared to serve each and every Sunday morning, Heavenly Father. And also, Heavenly Father, just within the past 2 years, to have to deal with this pandemic. And we're so grateful that they continue to monitor the situation, to update us, to put into place all the safeguards to continue to keep us safe as we attend worship service. We're also thankful for all those that help each and every morning. Appreciate that as well, Heavenly Father. We also pray at this time, Heavenly Father, that you would be with our brother Skippy Norman as he prepares to bring us the lesson this morning, Heavenly Father. We're so grateful for him, Heavenly Father, for the time that he puts into each and every one of his lessons, Heavenly Father. The dedication, the hard work that he shows. And we pray that as he brings us the lesson, that we will give unto him our undivided attention, and that we can apply that which we learn to our daily life. And we just also pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be all those that were mentioned sick this morning. You know, there was an extensive list, Heavenly Father. Pray that you would be with each and every one. You know, we think about our sister, Tamara Gatewood, as she is dealing with her many health issues, Heavenly Father. And we just know that through the power of prayer, that they can receive the much wanted care that is needed, and they can be restored to their much and wanted health.
his disciples around, he broke the bread and gave them each the bread, and he said, "Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup and he drank and said, "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." This is our example as Christians that we have to remember our Lord Jesus as he died on the cross and rose to new life, giving us a redemption from our sins. And as we do so, we are prepared to do so in the same like manner as he did at, in the upper room. We will partake of the bread, we will partake of the cup, and remember our Lord Savior and his death and resurrection. Let's bow in prayer and thank him for this opportunity to remember him now. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you that we are able to partake of this bread. We thank you that as we do so, we remember all the pain and suffering that you did in order that we might be one with you and to be able to have a chance to live with you in heaven. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ourselves in the name of Jesus. morning's sermon be taken from the New Testament book of Matthew, chapter 25, in verses 6 through 13. That's Matthew, chapter 25. Verses 6 through 13. And I'll be reading from the New King James Translation. Matthew 25, 6 through 13. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And now our brother Norman, and his sermon is titled, "This May Be Our Last Day."
Did you notice just the opposite. With everyone waiting on the bridegroom. Now, when you look at the Jewish wedding, there were 12 steps in the Jewish wedding. You might say, oh, we're going to be here all day. No, we're just going to be here to 2 o'clock. Just playing. But there are 12 steps in this Jewish wedding. The first step was the selection of the bride. Now, if you don't have time to write it down, it's all right. It's back there in the bulletin. I made an outline of those 12 steps. The first step was the selection of the bride. Now, usually the bride was chosen by the father of the bridegroom. And he would meet with the father of the potential bride, and he would go from there. The second step was the price of the bride. You see, once it had been agreed upon that the two would be united in marriage, a price would have to be determined for the bride. And this price was to compensate the bride's father for the loss of a worker, but also to show how highly the groom valued the bride. See, to show how much Jesus valued us, he gave his life. That was the price the Father paid by giving his only begotten Son. John 3:16. But then the third thing, the third step, was the betrothal of the ketubah. Now, the betrothal of the ketubah is much like our engagement today, but it's a more serious binding. See, a ketubah was a Jewish marriage contract. And so in this ketubah, they would enter into a binding contract, sealed in blood, and legally binding. And so at this point, what would happen was that the couple was legally married except for sexual relations. This ketubah would last usually about 1 year. And the reason for this time period was to ensure that the bride had been pure and not pregnant. And at this marriage ceremony, a legal contract or a ketubah would be presented to the father of the bride. Now, this was an important document that the bride would hang on to and cherish because it contained the promises of the bridegroom to the bride and his love for her. The contract, a document we have today, is the Bible. It's the Word of God, and that we hold on to because it contains the promises of the bridegroom to us and his love for us. The fourth step is the bride's consent. Even though it was a prearranged marriage, The bride had to give her consent. Now that's back in Genesis chapter 24. And you look at verse 57 and 58 when he's talking about Rebekah. Rebekah gave the consent of that marriage. And so that was the bride's consent. Number five, there was the cup of the covenant. Now, in giving her consent to the marriage, the bride would do it through taking a cup of wine offered from the hand of her prospective husband. Now, surprisingly, the Lord's Supper is where we see this today in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 20. Y'all look at me like this is new to y'all. When you look at this in Luke 22 in verse 20, in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my body, which is poured out for you." Now, we have always thought that these words, as originating with Jesus and only in reference to the Lord's Supper, but in reality, they were common words to the Jewish audience. But they were words of the marriage ceremony. Because the bridegroom would hold up a glass of wine to his future wife and say to her, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." If the bride accepted the wedding proposal, she would take the cup of wine and she would drink it. The sixth step. Y'all saying now, boy, I'm glad we didn't have this today. Have to go through all of this before we get married. I would never get married. But that's what they had to do. The sixth step was the gifts for the bride. The bridegroom would usually give special gifts to his bride, and they were usually of value, such as precious coins, or to remind her of his love for her. And similar today, it's an idea of the engagement ring that we give today. The seventh step was called the mikvah. Now, this was a pool of living water where the bride would bathe in a Jewish ritual purification to get ready to meet the bridegroom. The mikvah represented a separation from her old life and a dedication to the new one with her husband. The eighth step was the departure of the groom. Once the marriage covenant was sealed, the bridegroom would leave the bride, go to prepare a room, either in his father's house for her, or in his own home if he was fortunate at that time. When you look at John 14, verse 2 and 3, Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The ninth step was the consecrated bride. The bride would wait and be faithfully waiting for her husband to come to take her to be with him. That's what you see in this parable that we are looking at. That's the scene that's right here. Because it's nearing the time when the bridegroom will come for the bride. And after this, going to prepare a place for her. The tenth step was the return of the bridegroom. Jewish bridegrooms would usually come late at night for their brides. Just like this parable said, it's nearing the midnight hour. When the bridegroom was coming, the shofar, in other words, this thing was made from the horn of a ram or some other animal. This horn would be sounded, and they would signal that the wait was done and the bridegroom has come. And as he came to meet the bride, there would be shouting and dancing and basically a party that was going on in the street. And so the bride would then go to meet her bridegroom. The 11th step was the homecoming. The bridegroom takes his bride to the marriage chamber and are given a full week for the consummation of the marriage and to enjoy themselves in what we call today a honeymoon. During this week, no one was allowed to disturb them or bother them. And then the final step was the marriage supper. At this reception, there would be dancing and a party atmosphere. And so the text tells us that the groom delayed his coming. All right? Now we're going to get to the application, and this lesson is yours. The groom has delayed his coming. And as he has delayed his coming, the bridesmaid fell asleep. All right? Because no doubt they became drowsy, waiting for the bridegroom they will be more faithful at another time, because they think in their mind that they have time. They will be more generous at some other point because they think that they have time. Time is one thing we are not guaranteed. The real tragedy of this parable is the tragedy of being unprepared for something important. They thought their preparations were not that important. Perhaps the five unwise virgins thought that their preparation really didn't matter. And we know from this text that it did matter. And so some people are quick to try to convince themselves that the way that they act does not really matter. They think that the things that they do have no bearing on who they are or where they spend eternity. So they make no effort to change. They come Sunday after Sunday making no effort to change, because they think in their mind, I was here last week, I'm here this week, and I'll be here next week. That's the wrong thinking. This may be your last day. And so God calls us to a holy standard. And he does care about what things we do and do not do. The church is the bride of Christ. And our objective is to be presented to Jesus as a pure bride. But then, church, comes a sad commentary. In verse 10, the door was shut. Before he came, the door was open, and the opportunity to enter in. But once the bridegroom arrived, it was closed, shut, never to open again to any outsider. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. John 10 and verse number 9. Today he stands at the door and he knocks on your heart. Revelation 3:20, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. But then finally, church, here's the warning. The warning is in verse number 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. There are times when we are reminded of the brevity of life. The phone rings, and we are informed that a loved one has passed away unexpectedly. We open the newspaper, and there is the obituaries in the name of a close friend or a co-worker. Sometimes people will go to the doctor for some test, and they get informed that they only have a few months to live. I imagine that it's difficult living with the knowledge that today may be your last day. But the fact of the matter is, that's the case sitting here this morning, though we may not have a terminal disease, none of us are promised the next breath. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not to thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not of what a day may bring forth. James said, what is your life? It's nothing but a vapor that appeared for a little while and it'll vanish away. It is an unchangeable fact that we could die today. And if this was your last day, would you be happy with where everything stands this morning? Have you been faithful? Have you been committed to God like you should? How about your relationship with others? Have you forgiven the people you need to forgive today? I've been to funerals where I've heard people say, if only I had known that this was going to be the last day, there are things I would have made right. Too late. Now is the time to make things right. Perhaps this morning, there's someone sitting in this assembly, and inside you, you still have bitterness. You still have hurts. You need to clear your conscience this morning. I tell you, Jesus is coming, and we need to get these things taken care of. You must get to that person quick as you can and say, forgive me for what I've done. Maybe somebody this morning, you need to make a phone call. You need to mend those relationships. Cherish those relationships while you're still here. We should live this morning in a way that if we knew for a fact that we would die today, that we wouldn't have to change one single thing. And this is possible. And this is exactly how each and every child of God should live. Church, this could be your last day on this earth. Those who are here must prepare, because we don't know the day. We don't know the hour. So how can we prepare not to make the same mistake the foolish virgins did? Three little brief things, and we're through. Number one, watch your character. 2 Corinthians 7 in verse number 1. Secondly, watch your commitment. Romans 12 in verse 1 and 2. And thirdly, watch your companions. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 33. You are known by your association. Church, don't be caught doing the wrong thing and hanging out with the wrong crowd. Don't be caught unprepared to meet God. This may be your last day on this earth. My question to you this morning, if Jesus were to come right now, tell you time for you is no more, how will you stand before God? Will you stand prepared, or are you unprepared? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. If you're here, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are unprepared. the way you get prepared. You've heard his word. You got to believe it to be true. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. Then the Lord adds you to his church. Acts 2:47, then you live faithfully under death. You receive a crown of life. If you're here and a Christian, you know you have not been living as a Christian should. You know this morning that you are not prepared to meet God. Now is the time to make the decision that if this is my last day on this earth, I want to make sure that I'm right with God. The opportunity is yours to come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Father, we thank you for waking us up and bringing us together to worship you. We pray that everyone in attendance is able to take something from this lesson and use it in their daily lives to make them better, stronger servants unto you. At this time, we also ask that you watch over the people who are sick and the people who are traveling and bring them back at their next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.